week, that Wednesday, he also went to the Lord. Basil's funeral was yesterday, and Johan Nigus's funeral will be on Thursday. So please keep the family also in your prayers. We are busy with the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' words concerning Christian behavior in the New Covenant, the reflection of God's ways for human life. How does God see us, and how does God designed and desire us to live as humans, especially under the New Covenant? And so we were listening to Jesus' words, and we are now at verse 33. And I want us to listen to Jesus' words that speaks of a righteousness that starts within the heart. It starts within the heart of every believer that are born again. That great and awesome promise when Jesus said, one day I will come and I will take out your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will pour my spirit within you, and you will know and do my commandments. You will willingly live my desire, my way, and my thoughts. And so Jesus came to declare in more detail what it looks like. And so here in verse 33, we see yet again another aspect of God's way for life for humans. Again, you have heard it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. It's quite an interesting shift from murder, adultery, divorce, to what we say. The traditional Jewish practice was to reinforce your word or a promise with an oath. If you want to make sure that somebody really believes, you must make an oath to prove to them that what you are saying now is true. That left a lot of room for deception and lies. And so Jesus was saying that our words should be sufficient. Our integrity and trustworthiness should be so strong that a person's word alone is enough to settle a matter. If, however, our yes is not entirely yes, and thus deceitful, or have a hidden motive, Jesus says, that is from the devil. Like Satan, who is the great deceiver. And so all of a sudden, Jesus exposes the motive of the heart behind not being truthful, not keeping your word, and having a motive that is not true. Have an alternative motive, a deception in your speech, a deception in your communication, and even lying. God says, that is from the devil. And so we must be careful not to be deceitful. We must be careful in our speech and our actions. James 5 says the same thing. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Jesus and James underscores the corruption of deceit and the importance of maintaining purity in speech. Jesus' word serves as a warning against temptation to manipulate or to twist the truth for our own personal gain or to avoid consequences. Or when we deliberately put somebody under a false impression, that is to deceive someone. Who was the first deceiver? The devil. The devil came to man to deceive man. Leviticus 19 verse 11 says, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Remember, the devil is the great deceiver. He is the great liar. And so Jesus says, that what we say and that what we do is either from the Lord or from the devil. It sounds like, what was it, Cat Stevens song? I don't know if you know Cat Stevens. You got to follow someone. Either going to follow the Lord or you're going to follow the devil, but you got to follow someone. And so Jesus obviously said these things long before Cat Stevens did. But what we say is a reflection of who we follow. As a matter of fact, in John 8, Jesus says to the Jews, it's very challenging, it was the Jews that believed in him, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desire. Jesus immediately puts our action and our desire in relation to whom we belong to who we come from. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. For he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is the first being to lie, the first to deceive. Us as believers are called to resist the influence and the temptation of the devil, who is a liar by nature and seeks to undermine the truth. And when we lie or deceive, we are not just breaking a command. We are embracing the nature of Satan. We are imitating his nature and his sinful desires. And that is something that starts within the heart. But we are called to imitate God. All over Scripture, over and over, we are encouraged, commanded to imitate God, not the devil. We are called to imitate God, who is our Father. We were all born in sin, and by nature, we're children of wrath. We sinned because of our sinful nature, but then we were born again, so powerfully. Born again speaks of a new father, a different mother. You were born again to become children of God, who now has become our father. And we are called to imitate our father. We are called to imitate the one to whom we belong. Ephesians 5 is 1 to 5 says the following, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. You see, again, the connection between the imitation and who you have been begotten of. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous or has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And so Jesus was quite clear. Jesus said to the Jews that your father is the devil because you want to do his desires. You want to do these things. So all forms of impurity, from sexual immorality to filthy language, should not even be named amongst us who are begotten of God and belong to Him. We are His children. As a matter of fact, lying is a serious sin. Revelations 21 verse 8 says the following, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and all liars." It's so challenging, but lying is listed with murder and adultery. It's a serious sin. "They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And therefore, it's a very good thing to teach your children not to lie. We'll get to that. It is interesting that lying is listed with murder and sexual immorality, because just like with murder and adultery, like Jesus just said previously, that murder starts in the heart, adultery starts in the heart, divorce starts in the heart, lying starts in the heart. It is a seed. It is a response. Lying starts within. It's a seed planted by Satan himself, who is in his very nature a liar. I can't remember who said it, but it made so much sense. Whatever the devil tells you is not true. So if the devil tells you you're a failure, what does that mean? You are not. If he says all hope is gone, then it is not. The devil is so helpful in my life. Whenever he speaks to me, I know for certain that is not the truth. It's like when somebody says on the 5th of May, Jesus is coming back. I know exactly on that day, you will not be coming back. Because nobody knows the hour or the time, only the Father. So whatever the devil says to you, you can know for certain it is not true. He's a deceiver. Yes, he will use truth and he will manipulate it and twist it to try and deceive you. Did God really say? Did he really mean? Yes. But whatever he tells you, you can know is a lie. So not only do not listen to the devil, be encouraged by what he tells you. It is the opposite. Even if he tells you you are great or so important, don't believe him. Don't believe him. So when we lie, or we steal, or we kill, we not only break a command of God, we become unlike God. And therefore, it's important to teach our children not to lie. And it's so evident, the fact that we are born in sin, that we don't need to teach our children to lie. If any one of you tried to teach your children to lie, was it ever necessary? Did you notice they instinctively manage to do it? Or hurt their brother or sister? Or take something and not share something? Have you noticed? It comes instinctively in us. It's something that we need to be restrained from, taught otherwise, and ultimately accept God in our lives to change us. But lying is one of those things. Lying is very dangerous because it is the character and the nature of Satan to lie. And when we lie and we allow lying into our lives, in our hearts, to establish it as a way of life, we are embracing evil. We're embracing evil. We're embracing the character and the nature of Satan himself. And therefore, lying is a serious sin. If you are able to justify lying in your heart, it will justify all other evil. It starts off so innocently, but it leads to death. And so it is important to deal with lying. for it opens the heart to other sin. Jesus says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. So that leads us to how and what we should speak. What do we ought to speak? Well, Colossians 3 verse 8 says, but now you must also rid yourself of all these things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. It's another thing that we need to rid ourselves from is filthy language, swearing, cursing. It is not fitting for Christians. When I say fitting, it's literally not fitting. Because we are not of the devil, we are of God, who is pure and holy and righteous. And His words are edifying and truth. And so swearing is also of the devil. It's one of the first things as a Christian I had to change in my own life. It almost came instinctively. When I got born again, I realized I can no longer swear. And I used to swear quite a lot. And it's one of the first things that I was challenged with by the Holy Spirit. In my life, God deals with us differently. I didn't smoke. I didn't use drugs. I did swear a lot. It's the first thing in my life that the Holy Spirit came to challenge, to lead to repentance, to change the way I speak. And what I'm speaking from. James 3 from verse 6 says the following. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and in itself sets on fire by hell. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings, verse 9, who have been made in the likeness, in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Why? Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? It's two different things. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. And so, yes, as Christians, we should not swear, ever. Never. If you hit your foot, say, praise the Here. I saw that once in the older man. He walked and he hit his thumb and he said, praise the Here. And I thought, that is uplifting and edifying. And now whenever I hurt myself, I say, praise the Here. And not only does it remind me to do so, it is edifying to everyone around me. You can't say boss otter of soos Donovan say pun or whatever. Whatever you want to use, just don't swear. But I like praise the Here meer. Because it edifies my hearers. Sommar as well. Ek weet nie wat pan doen nie, Donovan. But anyway, it's much better than cursing. Swearing does not reflect God's purity and holiness. The words that we speak should reflect who we follow. And the commitment we place on honoring God. Because we are His children. Who of you will be embarrassed if your children swears in public? It will be embarrassing. Except perhaps if you do it at home. And you don't mind swearing, then of course it won't be embarrassing. So, I mean, we know how the world operates. You can't hardly watch a movie these days without swearing. Our children are constantly bombarded by swearing in the media, in the world, amongst their friends. This is the norm. This is what you do. And you will find sometimes your children will speak differently at home than with their friends. Because they know. But we should never swear because it reflects on our Father. He's holy, he's pure, he's good. And so we should not. James 1 verse 26 says the following: those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. And so the words that we speak, the language that we use, it is important. It should reflect God and not the devil. Jesus reveals more. In Matthew 12, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasures brings forth good, and the evil person out of the treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And so it is a lie that it doesn't matter. It is the way of the world. It is the devil that are deceiving. Deceiving the world that your language doesn't matter. It is cool. It is the way you express yourself. It is the way you accept it. It's absolutely true. Except that it's not cool. It's very hot. But it is a way of expressing yourself. It is a way of belonging. But not in the crowd you want to be. Oh, is it difficult not to swear? Yes, because first I need to change. First, I need to deal with my heart and the things in my heart. And I need to make a commitment to honor God in the way I live and the way I speak. And then it's difficult to be in an environment where everybody else is swearing. I got saved just before I went to the army. And then I became an NCO and a platoon sergeant. It was difficult not to swear. I was known as the NCO that didn't swear. I didn't drink and I didn't have sex. I didn't fit in. But you know what's so amazing? Because I stuck to my principles, I started to gain respect. Respect from the troops, respect from my colleagues, respect from the leadership. Because I could see I'm a man of my word, of integrity, and of principle. But it comes at a cost. Solomon says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." He says, Proverbs 13, verse 3, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. And he who opens wide his lips will come to ruin." Therefore, Ephesians 4 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." Integrity, purity, and wisdom. Wisdom in the words we use and when we use it. Wisdom is how and when we speak. Like Proverbs says, this was a verse when I was a young Christian that really challenged me. And to this day, I'm still working on it. It says, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, And whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. How true that is. The verse emphasizes the importance of controlling one's words and suggests that wise individuals will be discerning when and what they say. Like Proverbs 10 says, in the multitudes of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. James 1 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so sometimes we struggle with this, to be slow to speak. But it will be wise for us to think before we speak. Sometimes just to take a deep breath, and there are so many different ways one can practically do this. But we should all think before we speak, whether our words are edifying and whether it reflects God's character. Like Ephesians 4 verse 29 said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So as we consider God's ways for us under the covenant, the new covenant, that is a reflection of his heart and character and will, his way of holiness, purity, and righteousness, let us commit ourselves today to rid ourselves of all filthy, deceiving, and lying words. Let us be truthful. Let us be righteous. Let us be holy. And let us be mindful of the one we represent. Let us speak in a way that brings honor to God. Let us speak in a way that reflects God, as God calls us to be ambassadors. He calls us to be light in this world, to be different to this world, to bring an alternative to the way of evil in this world. He calls us to be salt, to taste differently, to be differently. But if we lose our flavor, we become worthless. So we are called to be different. And we can ask God for grace to help us to change. Change is not easy. Breaking a habit is not easy. But God has given us grace. And so we can ask God to help us to change. Ask God to teach you to change. Ask God to put a guard before your mouth. Ask him every day, Lord, help me to change the way I talk. Teach me how to do this, and you will be amazed how often God speaks to you. It's one of the ways I learned to discover God's voice is to ask God to change me and to mentor me and to ask him that same question every day. And I was amazed at how often the Holy Spirit speaks to me as I was talking. He would say, that was too much. No, that was the wrong word. You'll be amazed how much God speaks to you. If you want to learn to hear his voice, ask him to change you. Ask him to mentor you. And your words are a good way to start. Will we do that? I'm going to give you an opportunity to reflect and to speak to God yourself. But I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out communion. We're going to partake of communion as well today. And we're going to make a commitment. We're going to make a commitment afresh anew as God's children, that we're going to live in a way that brings honor to him. In the way we do things and the way we say things. We're going to ask God that he will give us the grace by his Spirit to get it right. To be people of integrity. You know what is so interesting about integrity? It is being valued more and more in this world because of the lack of it. Because of the lack of integrity. And so I want to encourage you, even though, yes, there might be persecution because we follow God's way, there's also great benefit in following God's way. And so we're going to partake of communion, we're going to make a commitment that we're going to live our lives in a way that reflect and honor God, that we'll be known as people of integrity, people of purity, people of truthfulness, trustworthiness. As a matter of fact, Christians should be the best employers. We should be the best there is. We should, because we should be faithful, on time, honest, and serving as if we are serving unto the Lord. And so I want us all to partake of communion together this morning. So we're going to make a commitment. But first, as we wait for one another, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to ask the Lord to show you in your life, is there areas in the way you speak that you need to repent, that you need to change? And then to ask God to do something that is so liberating. It's to set you free. It's to change you. That's really why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come because we were perfect. He came because we were imperfect. But He also came to change us in love and compassion, with lots of grace and lots of mercy. But He wants us to live a life that is free of sin. A life that is full of peace and joy and goodness and kindness and gentleness, compassion. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity where you are just to ask the Lord to show you if there's an area in the way that you speak that you need to change, and to ask the Holy Spirit to forgive you, to give you grace to change. Just in your own words, will you speak to the Lord? Did everyone receive? Is there anybody we missed? Anybody that still needs a cup? Anybody that needs bread? Let's just close our eyes before we partake. Lord, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, Lord, that we may know You. That You reveal Yourself to us. You who are perfect, love the imperfect. Despite our sinfulness, You made a way for us to become perfect in Your sight. It is through sending Your Son to become sin, to take upon our imperfection, our sinfulness, our shame, our guilt. And to be punished for it. To be a sacrifice for it. So that the blood of your Son may wash us clean. May pardon us. The blood of your Son may redeem us. The blood of your Son may make us whole and pure and righteous in your sight. Lord, we thank you for this love. We thank you, Lord, that you are loving, caring, compassionate towards us. And you want the best for us. You want us to be where you are. Thank you, Lord, for sending us your Spirit that is with us, that we are not alone, to help us to become more like you in this world. So we are just passing through. Lord, I want to give an opportunity for some here this morning. If you do not know the Lord, if you have not given your life to God, please do not partake with us in communion, because it is more than just an act. It is a covenant. But if you are not a believer here today, you've not surrendered your life, and you want to, you can today give your life to God. And He will come, and you will be born again. And you will not be part of the legacy of the devil, but be part of the legacy of God. If you bow your knee and accept Christ as His Son, as your Savior, your King and Lord, you too can be born again. You too can be free from the power, the desire, and the will of sin. And you can belong to Him. And if that is you this morning and you want to give your life to God, I want to give you an opportunity just to raise your hand while all the eyes are closed. If there's anyone here today that's not a believer, wants to give their life to God, you can raise your hand just quickly. Is there anyone here? Is there anyone? I didn't see a hand. I just want to make sure I didn't miss someone. And then for the rest of us, Father, we thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for taking our sin and our filthy language and our lying and our deceiving and our lack of integrity and everything in our past, Lord. Thank you for taking it all and paying the price for it, so that we can be free from it. You were broken so that we may be healed. And Lord, I pray for that healing. As we eat this bread, Lord, I pray for that healing in our bodies, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Lord, we thank you for being the bread of life. Let's eat together. Lord, thank you for your blood that was shed for us. It opened a new and a living way. A new covenant with you. That we are saved not by works, not by being perfect, but because you are perfect. It's your perfection, your righteousness that becomes ours. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we thank you that we can move from death to life. We can be born again. We can be sealed by your Spirit and we can belong to you. Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we also commit ourselves to live in a way that reflect you and honor you. God, give us the grace to get it right, that you may be glorified. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for salvation. And we thank you for this new life. Let's drink together. Amen. Now, children of God, go with His blessing, His favor, His name. And wherever you go, live Jesus. Purity, integrity, trustfulness. Né? Go be the people that people trust. Go be the people that speak life. Go be the people that speak truth in love and represent Him wherever you go. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God bless you. If you need of prayer, we're going to be here for a while. But thank you for coming. May God bless you, and trust to see you next week.